T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Brooklyn has acquired James Harden. Oh.
My first reaction is shock, awe, and I'm pissed off.
I'm pissed off, Angelo.
Dribble, 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 dribble. Fat, fat, fat. Dribble, dribble, dribble.
I appreciate you guys.
Dale Arnold.
If you get Irving back, you have a 1-2-3. Perhaps unlike we've seen in this league in the modern era.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Rich Keefe.
Do you want to see the afterlife? I'll take you there.
Burn him!
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Mom's spaghetti, as Eminem would say.
He would
right
say.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Right, it may be because I'm a hockey guy that I'm a little bit paranoid about this stuff, but further evidence is if none was needed that the National Hockey League, even when they try hard, just can't get things right. They opened their brand new hockey season last night, and, you know, put on a slate of very entertaining games. And all they have to go up against is the first time a person has been impeached twice in United States history and the trade of James Harden in one of the biggest deals in recent sports history. Have at it, NHL. Good luck getting any attention for that last
brutal
night.
I know. They got a nice triple header. You think all to themselves. You know, it's just the Celtics had another game postponed. So locally, even though the Bruins weren't playing, you're like, okay, let's see what the hockey season has in store. No. James Harden got dealt. And I'm glad we talked about it yesterday because that happened quick.
Well, we said it could happen quick. We said this yesterday. Yeah. I didn't realize it was going to be within hours.
That quick.
But
pretty amazing after James Harden goes to the podium for a really, really short post game where he said he doesn't think it's fixable and it's a mess. You're like, all right, they can't trot this guy back out there. And I really thought the 76ers made the most sense. I thought he was going to go for some sort of Ben Simmons swap and, you know, picks and whatever else. But nope, leave it to the NBA to have a four-team deal with a million pick swaps, players going left, right, teams that I felt like had no business being involved. Like the Cavs were like, yeah, we'll get in on this. Like, well, we'll jump in on this. And now James Harden goes to the Brooklyn Nets. And let that circus continue here in the East.
What circus? Smooth sailing.
Oh,
it's just
yeah
talent, baby. Just go on.
Fine. They don't know where one of their best players is.
No, and the story today is he may sit out the rest of the year.
Now he's out, like, for who knows why.
But apparently that was also part of why they were more
correct
aggressive.
Well, they
more
said, look, we don't think he's going to play. Let's go get another great player.
I think internally they now sort of look at this like most of the other teams are built. We have a dynamic duo, and the possibility of having a big three. I'm
Kyrie's
not sure
the
internally
wild card, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure they think he is a guy they can count on or really will be a part of this. And I think that's in part why they did it. Yeah. I don't hate the trade.
I think it's a ridiculous trade for Houston.
Well, but some people are like, you're kind of rolling
the
dice.
Brooklyn,
for Houston.
Houston. That you're rolling the dice.
For Houston, it's ridiculous. If he goes to Brooklyn and does what he's supposed to do, good luck with those picks in the 20s,
well, see,
which
that's
is where
the
they're all going to be.
Now, I think it's going to blow up.
Unless
I think he's getting old and fat. I think Durant could be gone in a year, 2 years. I think Kyrie may never be back. And suddenly you have potentially really high draft picks through 2027 with the swaps and the picks you're actually getting. So, yeah, I think they rolled the dice. I think they looked at it like I look at it, and I think a lot of people look at it like that's short-term at best and may never work at all, and I'm going to be swapping picks with a franchise that absolutely stinks down the road in 2025 and 2027, and I'm getting high picks out of this.
Yeah, I think that's the hope. I mean, I think a lot of people saw it as deja vu from the Kevin Garnett-Paul Pierce trade, where you give up so many picks, so many swaps, that Houston has to be banking that later on down the road. Hey, these next couple of years, like, for example, there's a pick swap for this year. Stupid. Don't even count it. There won't even be a pick swap in 2021. You're going to have a better record than them. Or, I'm sorry, you're Houston. You're going to have a worse record. So that's just stupid. Right. But so cross that one off. But down the road, Andy's right. You're talking about
3, 4, 5 years down the road.
2026
maybe.
And 2027. Now, that's a long ways away for a fan base. But I think you need to tell them, like, listen, the Boston Celtics did this. They were bad for a year. They got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum out of that deal. And then they ended up trading the other pick, which was Colin Sexton. So if you're just saying on and they got less picks, they had fewer picks, and they still got those two, three guys came from that. And I guess if you're Houston, you got to bank on that. I'm just surprised that they ended up going with, like, Victor Oladipo as the player to bring in for this season rather than.
And they may release him.
I would have been pushed for Ben Simmons, though. I would have been all over. Now, maybe they flip Oladipo and they just go, you know, they're like, hey, we're gonna try this. Right. It is interesting, though, because the Brooklyn Nets made the decision a couple of years ago to go all in on a super team. Now, they'd already done it before, but that was a different ownership group. Now they're going to go all in on a super team with Durant and with Irving. Because it's funny, you go back and look at their roster just 2 years ago, they had D'Angelo Russell, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, and Spencer Dinwiddie, who's still on the team, but he's hurt. That's a nice group. Like, that's a pretty good group. But it doesn't win the whole thing in the NBA unless you're patient and those guys kind of pan out. So they said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to get Durant in here. We're going to redshirt Durant. We're going to pay him not to play for a full year. We're even going to bring in Kyrie Irving knowing he's a headache. The reports were they didn't even want him. They just wanted Durant. So they sat there for a year, and now the season's going. And this is the most important thing, I think. Kevin Durant looks like Kevin Durant. He's not a mess. Now, I know he's missed a couple games because of the COVID protocol, but it doesn't look like the injuries have made him a different player. So
but here's the problem, Rich. They acquired arguably the biggest headache in the NBA. They didn't even want him, but, you know, Kevin wants him, fine. Bring Kyrie in.
Yeah.
Yesterday, they acquired the second biggest headache in the NBA.
Yeah, but I think they're a little bit different. I think if Harden goes, because apparently he wants to be on Brooklyn, and I think he wants to play.
Does that mean he's going to drop 30 pounds all of a sudden?
I mean, he was still average. He's still top 10, 15 in the league in scoring.
I don't care. That is not going to. You cannot sustain that at that weight. You can't.
All right. Well,
he's going to break down. He's going to wear down.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine. Can you remember seeing an athlete who put on that much weight in that amount of time? I mean, from one season to the next, all of a sudden he showed up and he looked like Mark Henry.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I've
Bryson DeChambeau.
Well, I just think
except
it's
his was all muscle.
That's what they say anyway.
Barry Bonds put on weight. I don't know. I mean, his first game, everybody was making fun of him. They saw the pictures for the first time. They're like, oh my God, this guy's disgusting. And then he scored 44 points and like 17 assists. So they're like, what? So you're right. If he plays, how can you maintain that kind of weight and play an NBA season? Like, I don't think he can. No,
that's
but my point is, I think he's going to lose weight just by playing. Like, even if he does nothing
not
else
so sure.
in between
not
games.
Sure. You don't think Dale so? Knows this better than anybody. Diet is a big
nutrition.
Part of weight gain and weight loss.
Yeah.
Correct,
key.
Dale?
It makes
so
a
if
difference.
The nutrition is coming at a legs and eggs buffet at 3 a.m. at the Foxy Lady, I'm not sure how much cardio really matters on the other
but
end of the spectrum.
To Andy's point, I think the Nets are obviously committed. Now, they might not have realized just how off the deep end Kyrie Irving was, but they certainly know now. So they said, we can make this happen. We can pair Durant with Harden, and if Kyrie plays, he plays. If he doesn't, it's still the Eastern Conference, and we have two of the four or five best players in the entire conference. So you roll with that. And the Nets, to me, are better now. Now, in a couple of years, they're going to be much worse because they're going to see Jared Allen probably be a all-star big man. Caris LeVert's probably going to average 20. All these picks are going to be gone, are going to be used, and all their star players are going to be gone. But for the 2021 season, they're better.
So yesterday on ESPN's Daily Podcast, Ramona Shelburne said, quote, there's really three teams, the 76ers, the Nets, and the Boston Celtics.
Ugh.
The Celtics kind of ducked out and weren't in it at the end. This morning, Danny Ainge, doing an interview across the street, acknowledged, yeah, we had conversations regarding James. Not recently, but yeah, we did have conversations. He said, and I'm quoting Ainge now, "We had numerous talks, but the price really wasn't changing. The price was really high for us. It was just something we didn't want to do. Even the people within our organization that respected him and wanted him more, I think unanimously we decided it wasn't the time for us and it wasn't the price." So according to Ramona Shelburne, and Danny Ainge kind of acknowledged, yeah, we were kind of in on this.
I think they read between the lines. Yeah. They like Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's getting better. We like Jaylen Brown. I read all of that to say Jaylen Brown, Jaylen Brown, Jaylen Brown. And I think that was the right choice. Now, there were reports yesterday on Twitter that I think it was out of New York, maybe the SNY guy said, like, people close to the Celtics were even preparing to be traded. Like the players, I think
right,
he said
I saw that.
People close to the players were actually preparing themselves to move on as of yesterday. So I don't know where the truth lies with it. We checked in on James a while ago and found out the price was too high, or guys even internally were maybe preparing that it could go down. But I'm all for the decision they made. I've said this all along.
Oh, the Celtics? Yes.
No part of James Harden. I think it would be a negative.
Well, the quote I just gave you from Danny where he said, even the people who wanted him more. So, in other words, even within his organization, there were some people who said, oh, I know how good he is, but no, I'd pass. And my guess is Brad Stevens was in that, I'd like to pass on this thing category. Yeah.
Well, I think they definitely made the right call on both ends. I think you can't have a top 10 player in the NBA be disgruntled and want out and your team just sit on your hands and not even find out what it would take and what, you got to at least inquire. But I think two things happened in the first 10 games of the season. Jaylen Brown looks like an all-star. Jaylen Brown's top 10 in the league in scoring. He's always been a good two-way player, but he's even better now offensively, and I think he's really embraced it. And he plays well with Jason Tatum. Like, that is a good duo. And James Harden, he got fat, kind of hasn't really cared much. He's never been a defensive player, and he's just kind of, he wants out of Houston and all that other stuff.
He was sabotaging their organization intentionally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you got to
the point where Boogie Cousins was like the pillar of reason in Houston. And if
figure
that happens,
that out, huh?
Okay, we're done here. Sign for him to move on.
When DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall are the ones kind of looking down at you, you're like, wait a minute, what happened here? Like, those are two of the great winners of all time, those two guys.
But, oh, yeah.
But it was a mess. And I think also because of just getting out from under Kyrie Irving and realizing that, the mix on this team is really important. Like, yes, you need talent. You can't be the team that's led by Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford. Hey, it's a fun story, but you will lose. Like, you're not going to win with that group. But you can't just be the over-the-top, super-talented team that they don't play well together, they don't like each other, and you got one guy that's quitting or one guy that's whatever. So they made the right move, but I do wonder if Jaylen Brown got off to a really slow start or if James Harden was the same weight he was a year ago. Would things have been a little bit different?
Or if they said, Kemba Walker's not coming back this year.
Or if Kemba's knee's a little bit worse, I feel like maybe. But guess what? None of those things happened. And I think based on what we've seen in front of us, I'm glad we talked about it yesterday, Dale, because I was always of the trade for Harden. But there's just been too much this year on both ends of it that I changed my mind. And so it's not revisionist history. I think Danny Ainge made the right move, not getting involved. Now, the Nets were already a wild card, and they just become a bigger wild card. If those guys all buy in, I mean, they're far and away the most talented team in the East. But that is such a huge if. That is such a huge if.
When two of your big three show every indication of not buying in.
Right.
And to me, I think there's a far better chance this blows up than it works. And now, Kyrie's the ultimate wild card because I think there's some people that believe if Kyrie doesn't play, it actually helps the Nets. Like, you get that stick of dynamite out of the equation. We got now a two-man show. We got two, Rich said, top five players in the East. You can win at least the East with that makeup. And then if you just add Kyrie, well, that's another, now you need a third basketball. Now who knows what he does night to night, what he says night to night, what he thinks about Nash night to night. But I just, I'm with Houston, as I said. If you asked me, is there a better chance that this blows up before even this season ends, or a better chance it works and they collect a ring either this year or next year? To me, give me the blow up 1,000 times out of 1,000.
I think you get the Nets pick. And again, you got to be patient, but the Celtics were, and I think it's going to pay off for them. The next couple of picks that you get, whether it's their unprotected or the pick swap, probably won't really matter. But 2024, who's even going to be on the Nets in 2024? They may bottom out, and all of a sudden, the Houston Rockets have a top three pick based off of that. So
yeah, but you're telling your fans, look, it's going to suck for a while. But yeah, you know, and, give us 3, 4, 5 years. We're gonna get better here.
Dale, James Harden just told the fans that 2 days ago.
Right.
Wearing your uniform.
We suck now.
He just said,
and
this
we can't
be
get better.
Because he was trying to assure that they did.
So, right. I mean, I think if you're Houston, you can't keep him.
Yeah. You have to get Houston.
Oh,
you're Houston.
No, they had to get him out of there.
It was all about maximizing value.
But I think Simmons made more sense.
I think Simmons is a better player than Oladipo, but I also think Philly, because Simmons is better, wouldn't have given you a million picks.
Right.
It would have been Simmons. I think they were talking themselves into maybe Thibault was some of the rumors. And probably not 3 first-round picks and 4 pick swaps. Philly wouldn't have done that.
Well, I'm probably jaded by Danny Ainge's accumulation of draft picks over the last number of years, and Celtics fans going, for God's sakes, I mean, come on. Can we just maybe get a player in here who can help? And if I'm the Rockets, I'd rather have Simmons than the million picks. I know he can play in the NBA.
Yeah, but not enough. Is that enough to build around,
That would be mediocrity land, right?
Like, you're in that, we'll win more games now.
Now you're
we'll
in
win
less
more
than
games.
That.
Yeah. Right, but you have, there's a carrot. Like, they need to get used to, and right now it sucks to be a Houston fan, quite frankly. If you look at Astros scandal that tore everything down with that team, what the Texans are doing Jack Easterby.
Deshaun Watson might be the next guy out of town, so your two biggest stars. Yeah,
awful time to be a Houston fan, but at least if you're a Rockets fan, you got to get into the old Philly mantra, trust the process, or the Danny Ainge assets mantra where, you know, we have assets and there's a lot we can trade these. If the right deal comes along, we now have these 8 picks that we could trade to get a superstar. And, you know, maybe it is John Wall and build around, get something else, or maybe it's play it. Maybe it is the long con, and maybe it is you do have to wait for, the Nets bottomed out. But I would also say if you traded – not only would Philly not invest as many picks, I don't have as much faith that Philly could bottom out, right? You made this trade, in my opinion, reading the tea leaves, that you think New Jersey's going to bottom out. I mean, excuse me, Brooklyn.
In a couple of years, they will. Yeah, you're right. With Daryl Morey there in Philly now, they'll probably – and Embiid is a younger star than
– it doesn't always work. I mean, I remember when Bill Belichick traded Richard Seymour to the Raiders, and everybody thought, wow, you got a first-round pick next year? That's going to be, you know, a top 10 pick, a top 5 pick, and I think it ended up being like number 17 for Nate Solder. So
it was, like, you can make that projection.
It doesn't always work, but I think that's the game, the die that Houston is rolling, that the Nets are going to bottom out, and we are going to have a boatload of really high picks.
If I pick winners and losers out of this deal, I'd say the winner is James Harden because he wanted out. He wanted, apparently, to go to Brooklyn. That was one of the teams he wanted to go to. He got everything he wanted, and all he had to do was be an idiot and try to sabotage and blow the organization up. He got what he wanted. The loser is Kyrie Irving. There's a sportscaster out of San Francisco named Jason Dumas, and Andy, you hinted at this earlier. He tweeted out, the Brooklyn Nets were always interested in acquiring James Harden, but the deal became imperative in light of the situation with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie is willing to sit out the year if need be, those close to him are saying. Now, I don't know what if need be. What does that mean?
I have no idea what that means. Like, you're not Le'Veon Bell. You're not in a holdout. You're making $35 million this year. And guess what? They even said at the beginning of the year, like, Irving and Durant weren't even going to play every game. They weren't even asking you to play 72 games. They were asking you to probably play 60, and you were going to go through and then hopefully be good in the playoffs. But now you're out. But the thing is, he's going about it, shockingly, in such a bad way. Whereas if Kyrie Irving, if he really was, and I don't know, maybe he is really affected by what happened last week at the Capitol, by, pick something that has happened
the Jacob
in the country.
Blake shooting.
I was
going
to say, there's plenty
charges.
Of things to choose from. And so if he's upset about those, I think a lot of people would understand. But you need to communicate that. You need to communicate that to your team and then maybe sort of say, you know, maybe I'll be back, or like take an indefinite leave and then maybe come. But like this just going AWOL and then, oh, by the way, showing up at your sister's birthday party, showing up on a Zoom meeting the night of a game, like all these things. It's just classic Kyrie. He can't get out of his own way with it.
You know who's a bigger loser than Kyrie, though? There is one. Steve Nash.
I think he had to know what he was getting into, and I would say no, Dale.
He didn't know about
now,
the Harden part. But
here's the thing with Brooklyn is you don't have to beg Kyrie to play. But Kyrie, we'd obviously love you to play, but you know what? We're going to be fine without you. We have James Harden. Right. We got Kevin Durant. And I also
Nash
think
might be a winner here because he loses Kyrie. Do you think Nash would do a 1-for-1 Kyrie for Harden? Because I do.
Yes.
Harden is nowhere near Kyrie in Cuckoo Land
I think
or
most,
Diva
most,
Land or
most
whatever.
Most people do that around the league.
Yes. Yeah.
I think
he may have upgraded.
The basketball player who kind of quits on his team and then is good on the next team, unfortunately, happens a lot.
Like Jimmy Butler. Look at Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
He was toxic, and then he was like the junkyard dog that everybody would want, right?
Like, I don't think it's not a great feature. It's impossible to defend. It's just the reality. Like, Anthony Davis wanted out of the Pelicans by the end, pouted, sat out. They didn't even play him. And then he wins a title 2 years later with the Lakers. Vince Carter was a famous one. I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast about this trade, and they referenced that one. That was a long time ago. But at the end, in Toronto, it got real ugly with Vince Carter. Then he gets traded to the Nets, and the guy's MVP candidate again. So it happens. Guys kind of sit and pout, and with James Harden, that's what it came to. I think he'll be really good, though, with the Nets. That's my guess.
Do you think the Nets win an NBA title because of this?
No.
I don't.
I don't think so either.
I mean, I think they might get to an NBA Finals, maybe.
Sure.
They definitely could
James Harden doesn't get himself hurt and, you know, blow out a hamstring because he's lugging around a piano on his back every night.
Right. Dale, you're really fixating on guy put on a little weight.
Yeah, he's a little weight.
We're fat shaming him now.
You know, if you're a professional athlete and you're making $30, $40 million a year, isn't there an expectation that the bare minimum is you're going to show up prepared to play?
Yeah, but then what does Cam Newton call it? The GAF meter? I think James Harden's GAF
might have been a little low.
Out of whack, bouncing around.
Maybe their I'd like to pay you meter should go down too.
Well, that's a fair argument, but
they agreed to the contract. They all agreed to the contract.
That's sports, baby.
I also think like they've really chipped away at their roster, obviously, with all these moves too. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie is a good player and he's hurt right now. But Caris LeVert and Jarrett Allen are important guys, especially on nights where Kyrie's not here or we're gonna rest Durant. Like, if you still want to win games, those guys were helpful. And in order to make all these moves, I mean, it's obvious you can't just get them for nothing, but they've chipped away some pretty good pieces off of their team over the last couple of off seasons. And
I always find that argument, because I read a lot of that over the last 24 hours. There was a lot of sort of the culture and the roster that Durant and Kyrie came to that found acceptable is now gone. Like, it's a totally different team. And I hear that a lot from you NBA guys. I'm going to lump you in, Rich. You NBA guys.
Oh, thanks.
So do you need the superstars to win, or do you want the roster with depth and secondary talent and all that? Like, you can't have it both ways. It's really hard to do both, right?
No, you
like,
can't. And that's why you just need superstars, yes, but you need the right superstars.
So they have superstars.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they have the right ones, but they have superstars.
They do.
Okay, that's the answer.
So they
should be a contender.
They should
be 100%. A legitimate title contender. Now, the next step is, and we can get into this maybe a little bit later, the idea, is this good or bad for the NBA? What happened yesterday? As Dale said, they squashed the NHL. They just said, go away. People will talk about you at another time. But
thank
also,
goodness the Bruins are playing tonight, not last night.
Right. It's a continuation of a discussion we've had over the last, I'd say, 2 years about superstars and NBA and player movement and, you know, fan bases not really being able to latch on to superstars and build. But the flip side of that is, for me anyway, I love a villain. I love somebody I know I can root against. Now, the one problem for people like you, I keep saying that to you.
Yeah,
jeez,
what?
If we get to the NBA Finals and it's the Nets and the Lakers, what are you doing, Rich? Kyrie, do you want to win?
No.
Or LeBron, do you want to win?
I choose
just
not
to.
Is Kyrie playing? Or
he's
is Kyrie
rooting for the meteor.
I had to call Bron.
Yeah, that is a lose-lose.
I can answer my question. I'll be rooting for LeBron and the Lakers. I do not like the Nets. I've never liked Durant. I think he's a dink no matter which burner account he uses. James Harden, I don't like plays.
I like Harden,
watching him play. Of course you do.
I like Harden. Yeah, that'd be a tough one.
I'll say this. I applaud Denny or whoever within the organization. He makes the ultimate call, I guess. Whoever talked him out of, you know what, maybe we'll just step away from the vehicle here. Good for them. It would have been the wrong move, in my opinion. They would have had to give up assets that I don't think they can afford to give up. They wouldn't have just given up. And I don't want them to give up 4 first-round picks and all that other stuff.
Well, Jalen Brown was the key.
I would give up picks. I don't care about picks.
Yeah, picks are fine.
If you're selling me that the J team, Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum, are your budding superstars, then those picks are less relevant.
Their picks
are filling in a roster around my superstars, right? So the concern I have is when I was on with Mutt last night, we started taking calls, and it's like the Cold War. Now there's fans that are like, whew, the Nets just upped the ante. They have the superstars. Mm-hmm. You don't measure up to the East. Now you got to trade Jalen. It's time to trade Jalen. You got to change this roster.
But do you think Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum would continue on this track that they're on with James Harden?
With a guy who's going to shoot 45 times a night?
I don't.
Yeah, that's what I said to Mutt. Even in the dream scenario, you somehow gut James Harden and kept Jalen Brown, and you had the three. I think it stunts their growth. It probably even adversely affects their priorities and sort of how they look at basketball.
Yeah, I think negative. I mean, you saw how, you know, even Gordon Hayward could impact Jalen Brown. I think James Harden has a lot more say in the game than Gordon Hayward does.
We have so much stuff to talk about today. By the way, it appears that Urban Meyer is the new head football coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. A couple of people are now reporting that they're just finalizing the details. Apparently, Shad Khan had to agree to facilities upgrades and staffing questions. The fact that Urban Meyer is being named before the GM is being named tells you that he's also the GM. He's got complete roster control.
Yeah, oh, he said as much a couple weeks ago. He's like, well, before we hire the GM, and when we do hire the GM, I'll let him know that I'll also see roster control. So, like, so you are the GM.
I think Urban Meyer is going to be running the roster.
He's earned that right.
Now the question is Trevor Lawrence still the first overall pick in the draft? Or does Justin Fields inch past him based on who the new head coach is? We'll talk about all that stuff. Peter King's going to join us at 11:30 today. It is the start of the Bruins NHL season. The NHL started last night. You might not have noticed, but the Bruins kick off tonight in New Jersey against the Devils, and Jack Edwards is going to join us at 12:30 to preview that. But Celtics fans get their opportunity right off the bat. Wiggy, I heard him this morning yelling, "Come on, Danny, what are you doing?" I think Danny did just fine in this particular instance. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, and it's time to trend.
How many times has Rich Keefe been wrong?
Zero. Ever? Ever. Ever. Ever.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
For the Brooklyn Nets to go out and get James Harden, you know, this was something that Kevin Durant very much wanted. With the uncertainty surrounding Kyrie Irving right now, and I think there's still hope, expectation, he returns and plays for this team. Getting Harden, that's another reason for Durant to want to stay. But now, if you get Irving back and he's back to playing at a high level, you have a 1-2-3, perhaps unlike we've seen in this league in the modern era, but certainly it comes at a steep price for first-round picks.
So that's a Woj bomb on NFL Live yesterday. That's how big a deal this was. They had to get Woj in here. I know we're talking about, you know, NFL playoffs this weekend, but hold on the Brady Breeze talk for a minute. Woj, come in here and talk to us about James Harden.
Yeah.
Has anybody heard anything from James Harden since this happened? I've scoured, the media sites and haven't seen any comments.
No, I bet he's excited, though, because all the reports early on were that's where he wanted to go. Remember, before the season even started, we were wondering, is he going to go to Brooklyn? Is he going to go to Miami? You know, what chances did the Celtics have to trade for him? Philly? Like, it was all the Eastern Conference contenders. In fact, I think he even had a list of teams, and Boston wasn't on it, that he wanted to go to. And one of them was Brooklyn. So I think he's happy. And I think, again, they were the wild card to me anyway going into the season. They are even more so now. And if it's just Durant and Harden, they're really good. But if Kyrie sits out, and to get Harden, you had to give up Jared Allen and Caris LeVert, well, then they're worse. But if you have the three of those guys all buying in some way, somehow, like, right, everything aligns.
A miracle happens.
I don't think a lot of people are betting on it. But if it does, that is a just ridiculous, talented trio. And I don't think anybody else in the Eastern Conference would really be able to compete with that.
But is it a trio you can count on? That's the other thing, is it gets to, you know, sort of the Antonio Brown thing.
One guy's fragile, one guy's maybe a little disrupted in the head, as Andy pointed out the other day, and one guy's fat.
Right.
Good luck with that.
So, you know, we've seen this we've talked about this a lot with the Patriots in recent years, whether it was Josh Gordon or Antonio Brown and those sort of angles. Like, yeah, are they good? Sure. Can they give you September games? But can you get September, October, November, get all the way to where you want and need to go to February out of this team? Or, you know, when the going is good, are they great? The honeymoon. I mean, They had a freaking honeymoon this year. Those comments from Kyrie, like, right after he stopped the media boycott, but then he was like, Nash is awesome. You know that, like, two-day span where he loved Nash and Nash loved him and everybody was happy?
I mean, trust me, like, I didn't pick them to win the whole thing because of that. I thought it was going to implode on itself. I'm just saying, if it goes well, Kevin Durant is a two-time finals MVP. Kyrie Irving hit one of the biggest shots in a finals, and James Harden's led the league in scoring for 3 years. So, yeah, that just on paper, it's ridiculous. But I think we learned a couple of years ago as Celtics fans that on paper doesn't really get you anything. You know, on paper, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Tatum, Brown, Horford should have been really, really good. Then you roll the balls out there, and you're like, oh, wait, these guys don't fit. They don't like each other. They're all yelling at each other. Like, it was a mess. So it has a chance to turn into a mess. But if Durant and Harden truly like playing with each other, and if those two guys are good, like, I think the rest will fall into place.
I'll play pretend, because I don't believe this is the case. But let's say all three buy in. Mm-hmm. All three are committed. You know, James Harden loses 30 pounds, and all is well with the world. How does this trio stack up against the great trios in NBA history?
Well, so now y'all playing radio, guys.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing, Keyshawn.
So it's really, really good. Like, it's really up there. Yeah, but again, is it even better than the Golden State Warriors trio? I think it depends on how you view Klay Thompson and Kyrie Irving. So Durant is a wash.
Yep.
You could say Durant might have been a little bit better with them because he was pre-injury.
Right.
Curry's better than Harden. And then Kyrie at his best versus Klay Thompson at his best, I think, is a pretty good argument. They're different types of players.
I think Kyrie's better if he's at his best.
I think Kyrie's better, but
I don't think there's a big gap there, though.
No, right. I don't think it's huge, but just the unknown is the meshing, how they fit together, how they play together.
Well, that's why I was playing pretend. No, it's great.
It's a fun game. I also think, like, the Celtics trio, as much as we love them, and they have the trump card of they won a title, but they are worse because out of the six guys involved, Ray Allen's probably is the worst player.
How about if you went further back? How about if you went back to Bird, Parrish, and McHale?
It's different time.
I understand that.
It's
different
tough
players and makeup.
But what's really tough, and again, you can argue over, you know, how talented the league was and everything else, but the fact that Kevin Durant and James Harden are both league MVPs, that already changes the conversation because McHale never won an MVP, Parrish never won an MVP. In fact, I don't think McHale was ever first-team All-NBA, whereas James Harden's been first-team All-NBA a bunch. Yep. Kyrie Irving's been All-NBA, so that changes a little bit. Now, again, those guys have won three titles. So you have
against
that
good competition, too. Like, that's the other thing. It's not like they won three titles and there was, you know, no competition. It was like this down era. They went through great teams to win titles. But the trouble I always have there, it's like I know Curran has had this argument. We've had this discussion. Like, Bill Russell would suck if he played today. Just look at him. And it's like, but if you move Bill Russell to today, he grew up in today's game.
Yeah.
He has today's nutrition.
Yeah, that part's tough.
And the same thing I would say with Robert Parrish. Like, in my mind, Robert Parrish would not be good if you put him on an NBA court today, in today's game, and the way it's played.
Mm-hmm.
But Robert Parrish would have grown up in today's game, so I don't know what Robert Parrish would have been. Like, do you agree with that? Like, Parrish doesn't
feel like
2021 NBA star.
I think it's tough. I do think if you go all the way back and then can, like, I don't know. It's just, it is, like, if you're taking that actual player, like, if you're taking Bob Cousy and you're having him try to guard Steph Curry, like, quit it. Like, it's not going to happen. But you're right. If he was the best of that generation, so why wouldn't he be the best of this generation if he grew up? I know what you're saying.
In a different way. Like, he would evolve.
I also think the trio debate is a fun one, but it's also, is it just the resumes of those three guys or how they fit? Because how they fit, like, Jordan, Pippen, and Dennis Rodman fit perfectly. They did three different things, and Jordan was clearly the alpha. And then you had Pippen, who could do everything, and then Rodman, who was otherworldly at rebounding and defending. But Pippen and Rodman were never MVPs. Like, James Harden, technically, as an MVP, much better career than Dennis Rodman, but he doesn't have six titles like Scottie Pippen. You know, so it's tough how you want to do it, because just on paper, like, if you're ranking players, like, I think ESPN did their top 100 before the year started, like, these guys are all going to be pretty high. Like, Kyrie Irving was ranked really low, and even he was, like, 25. So you have three top 25 players in the league right now, whereas if you go back to some of these guys, like, I don't know where they would rank in their particular
season. And Pippen
season.
Is a winner. Like, he has the rings to prove that he's a winner, but he was a winner with Michael Jordan.
True.
Whereas Hall of Famer Harden.
And also, who's Harden's their, a who's loser. Their third? Who's the Bulls' third?
I guess you'd go Rodman with the second
three titles. And
again, Hall of Famer. I mean, these are all, like, if you go Magic, Kareem, Worthy, all Hall of Famers. Bird, McHale, Parrish, all Hall of Famers. If you want to go all the way back to, like, what, Russell, Cousy, Havlicek or whatever, like, those guys were all Hall of Famers.
All Hall of Famers.
Well, and these guys will all be Hall of Famers, right?
I mean, they will be. It's a low bar in the NBA, to be honest.
Yes.
But they will be. Yeah, I mean, once you're an MVP, I feel like you're in. And then Kyrie Irving, his career's been really good. Like, as much as we like to kind of bash him for what he is, like, his career's been solid.
All right, let's let you guys weigh in. 617-779-7937. Matt's in Rhode Island. Hey, Matt.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey. No doubt this is going to be, however it works out, this is going to be really explosive situation one way or the other with the Brooklyn Nets. But just on Kyrie Irving, I think it's pretty obvious at this point. He's really hiding behind this cloak of, like, being a social activist. I really think it has little to nothing to do with social activism for him. For example, like, when he was going to not go to the bubble, but then he contacts the NBA and wants to know, like, what kind of alcohol and food is going to be served. It's just not something you're going to really...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. It's an important question,
it's
though.
It's not something you're going to really be concerned about if you're really about the cause. And this is just another example about this. And I'd just like to, you know, point out, as you guys well know, remembering Steve Nash's career, a two-time MVP, you know, how to make these three guys gel on the court. If it does work, you know, they're definitely taking the East. But more importantly, I'm trying to figure out how Kyrie is so against Steve Nash. He said he was cool with Steve Nash, but then I just read an article on Nesson that said he's adamantly against Steve Nash being, you know, and he's, you know, making a big deal about it. Just an interesting point is Steve Nash, one of the bench coaches he has is Amari Stoudemire. And I think this is going to be a real friction situation. Steve Nash, I really feel bad for him. He can handle himself, but, you know, this is kind of a couple of my points. It's just, I don't know, you know, the NBA guys are, you know, probably of all the professional sports, the biggest divas. You know, when $50 million hits your bank account, you know, you're changing your head. But Kyrie's on an island all by himself on this one. What do you guys think?
I think Kyrie's definitely extreme. I don't feel bad for Steve Nash, though, because he took the job. I think he knew going in.
He didn't know about the Harden part, but, you know, he certainly...
No, I think
Kyrie
upgraded.
Right.
Kyrie's the worst part of the whole thing if I'm Steve Nash. You don't even know what the hell's going on. And I also think if Kyrie does have a problem with Steve Nash, it just kind of proves that he'd have a problem with anybody because he didn't really love Brad Stevens. He had those passive comments when they were playing the Clippers about, you know, obviously Doc Rivers is on the other side, and he was like, oh, it must be so great to have a coach that played in the league. It must be so great. All right, Steve Nash played in the league. Steve Nash was awesome. And you have a problem with him? So...
He's never happy.
He's just a mess, and that's why, again, Harden might even be... We're talking about best trios because I think it's fun, but it might be more just Kyrie insurance is what Harden was.
I have to admit, Andy got me rethinking this whole thing a couple of days ago when we talked about this. When you said, we may be looking at a man in the throes of some mental distress. And as you talked about it, and the more I thought about it, and I said yesterday, well, I'm done making fun of him if that's actually the case. If he has to step away because he's getting professional help for some issues that he's having, psychological issues he's having, well, good for him, first of all, and second of all, I'm done making fun. But assuming that's not the case and he's just being a nitwit, how do you fix that?
I think he's one of those guys, though, that thinks he's smarter than he is. In fact, thinks he's smarter than you, no matter who he's talking to.
No question.
And, you know, you remember the thing that came out last year about he thought they should all start their own league?
Yeah.
They should all leave the NBA and start their own league. I heard Jackie McMullen telling a story when she talked to him a couple years ago, and he was saying there shouldn't be an NBA draft. And she was like, I'm sorry, what? And he's like, there shouldn't be a draft. He's like, we're not somebody's property. It's America. We should be able to go play for whoever we want. And you're like,
well, you can. Go play for somebody else.
This is how it works. Yeah, go start your own league, I guess. Maybe it's sort of dovetailed off of that,
or,
I guess.
You know.
But yeah, he's just out there, and it's just, I don't know. The other part of it, too, is I don't know who he listens to. Like, could Kevin Durant say, hey, Kyrie, come on, man, like, we really need you. Would he listen to Durant, or would he just say, oh, you're part of the problem? Like, I don't know. Because a lot of those guys at least have a couple people they can lean on, but it doesn't really seem like it with Kyrie.
I feel like he's a guy that might listen to Durant today, might even listen to him tomorrow, and then day three stops listening to him for whatever reason. Because, you know, like the classic example was Mike Tyson, right? Customato was like his guy. Like that was the force that held everything together. When he was gone, Tyson was gone. Right?
Don King.
I don't know that Kyrie has that rock or that mentor or that advisor, and I think that's probably part of the problem. One of the things that really made me laugh out loud in doing some reading on all this was that apparently Steve Nash's real focus to start the year with his Nets was defense. He's really been, you know, emphasizing defense.
Good,
and
get James Harden
floor.
In there.
I thought you were going to say physical conditioning.
No. So, like, this
Harden,
because everybody's
Durant.
Yeah, like, might want to scratch that plan and just,
not a ton,
you know,
of defense. You're going to need to score more points.
Yep, D'Antoni method. We're
gonna
go
all guys, I'm going to learn about defense from Steve Nash. He never played any of it. Why am I talking to him?
617-779-7937. Peter King joins us at 11:30. Jack Edwards previews the start of the Bruins season at 12:30. Dale and Keefe with Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
Andy Hart is with Dale and Keefe every Tuesday and Thursday on WEEI.
Well, last night was the first time that we heard James Harden officially say, I've done enough in Houston. I've given you everything. It's time for me to move. There's been somewhat speculation and cryptic tweets and Instagrams and things of that nature in his behavior. So, as I've always said, Dan, in professional sports, when an athlete says...
Yeah, you said this before the show.
When an athlete says, I want out, you moving. You, because there's, you're going to devalue as he stays there and you try to force him to play, that value goes like this. And they got smart. Rafael Stone, the general manager, he got smart and was able to say, you know what, it's time to move. It's time to move him.
NFL Live yesterday became all James Harden all the time. That's Keyshawn Johnson talking about it. Now,
our guy. Sure.
Our guy. Now, do you agree with him in theory that if no matter how great the player is, if he says he wants out, you got to get him out?
No. Two words, Deshaun Watson. I'm bending over backwards to keep him. I think he wants out, but I'm bending over backwards to keep him. And
well, that's tough. I mean, I would say 99% of the time, I think you do have to get rid of him because you can't just keep him and be like, you would expect, because you're paying them so much money, that they'd go out there and give you their best effort, but it doesn't always work that way.
Like James Harden was trying so hard.
Like James Harden. If you watch James Harden the last several games that he played this year, like his overall stats don't really jump out at you, like being horrible, but just like the lack of effort, hence why DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall are ripping him. Like those guys are like, what is this? Like you're not giving us your full performance. So you can't keep that around. Like you can't. And you just have to maximize the return, and you're probably not going to get fair value, but you have to do whatever you can. And the longer it goes on, like if they waited another week, maybe they get even less for him. If he's just going out there, maybe he stops showing up. Maybe he pulls a Kyrie. Like, who knows?
Or well, the you story do the thing yesterday where was they were going to send him home.
They were going to sit him out.
Yeah, just right. So, just stay home. We'll let you know when you're traded.
I mean, maybe there's an exception, but what you'd have to do is have a guy doesn't want to be there. Chances are, to convince him to stay, you have to do something. Like Paul Pierce, it gets kind of forgotten. Paul Pierce, I think, was ready to leave here.
Right.
Kobe Bryant was ready to leave the Lakers. They made some moves. Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett show up, and all right, Paul's happy now. So it's one of two things. If your player is really, really unhappy, so maybe this will be the case for Deshaun Watson. You don't necessarily trade him, but I don't know how you just trot back everything like status quo. Like, you're not going to just change his mind and be like, hey, I know you were really mad, but you shouldn't have been, and just get over it. Like, that doesn't really work.
It's a basic route. Like, college coaches find a way to make him happy. I mean, the classic example would probably be...
find a way to make him happy. There are limits, aren't there?
Oh, I'm not saying, okay, you're the new owner. I give there's limits.
But I'm saying, for Deshaun Watson... I mean, how much – James Harden had roster control in Houston, apparently. He still wasn't happy.
Sure. And some guys will never be happy, and that's on you to figure out which kind of guy you have. But didn't we see it here for Tom Brady?
Yeah.
I mean, if you read Dynasty and sort of the role Robert Kraft played, and didn't they win a title when Tom Brady didn't even want to be here anymore? Right?
Yes, and I would
argue –
they beat
the Rams. He didn't want to be here.
Sort of, there are different – athletes, though, or not even the athlete, it's more the mental state. Like Tom Brady, I don't think would ever go out and play a game where he wasn't trying his best. And I know you could say, well, look at last year. I don't know. Last year might have been more the talent than him trying.
Right.
You know, I feel like it's
different.
I don't
think I ever called into question his effort last year.
Yeah, not on the field. No, not on the
field. That's what I'm saying. On the field, sure. Like maybe he misses OTAs. Okay, that's gonna be part of it. But I think he had too much pride in himself to go out there and not give his best effort. He wasn't gonna go out there and have a bad game. It would affect his business model, to be honest. So he couldn't go out there and play poorly. But I don't know. I just think in the NBA it's a little bit more common. Now the NFL, it has popped up. You know, like Jalen Ramsey was ready to go. He wanted out. He wanted out. He made it clear that he wanted out. And they were like, too much of a headache. See you later. Miami had all those guys. It was like a mutiny in Brian Flores' first couple of weeks there. And he's like, all right, see you later. Like, we're not going to put up with the headache, and we're going to try to get as many draft picks and young players as possible.
I think it boils down to you have to read the player. You have to have a comfortable feeling for what kind of, you know, Ty Law. Remember Ty Law, I can't feed my family with Super Bowl rings, called Bill Belichick a liar, and then they signed him. He came back, and remember he was asked, what did you say to Bill? What's up, Bill? Like, it was a business decision. He got what he wanted, and he's back to play. So is it business? Is it personal? Is the guy just Kyrie, and you said, you know what, no matter what I do, if I give him this, he's going to want the next thing. And if I give him that, he, like a kid. You got to treat
him
like a kid.
But also, a big difference, too, I think you have to look at your team, and that's what they're going to be doing with the Texans. But you brought up the example of Brady, really unhappy after 17. But guess what? They just lost the Super Bowl where they scored a ton of points. And so the next year you're saying, listen, we could still, as it turned out, win the Super Bowl. If you're the Rockets and you keep James Harden, so you keep a upset, overweight James Harden, where are you going? Like, it's not like you are a title contender anyway.
Well, so the other problem you run with that, if you do that, and I'm not sure Deshaun Watson would become that for the Texans, but it was clear that James Harden had already become a disruptive force within the locker room for the Houston Rockets. You've already got, you know, Boogie Cousins and John Wall already complaining about him. Yeah. That was only going to get worse.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that Watson would do that, would sabotage the team the way I think Harden was sabotaging the Rockets.
Right, but the point Rich is making, and I agree with it, is it even salvageable? Is there a reason to salvage it? Like, yeah, you're 25-year-old franchise quarterback. Yep, I got reason to salvage it. It could be the
different.
15 years. Right?
That's a different story. You're
fat, aging scorer who's never won a thing.
31-year-old guy who's under contract for another year and then has a player option, so he's probably going to leave anyway.
It's not worth
Sean Watson just signed that long deal. So, yeah, that's certainly apples and oranges.
Kyle's down in Rhode Island. Hey, Kyle, how you doing?
Not too bad, guys. How you doing?
Good, great.
All right. You guys are saying you're glad that the Celtics didn't pull the trigger on Harden. I'm assuming that's because you thought Jaylen Brown was going to be a part of it. So I'm wondering if, it would work financially-wise if you did Kemba. And, Andy, you said you didn't really care about the pick. So I'm wondering if you did, like, Kemba, four first-round picks, and then four additional swaps and whatever young players in addition had to be added to. I just would have done it with that. Now, you can argue about the chemistry, but financially it would have worked out. Mm. And the other thing I wanted to add is I think this whole thing is being blown out of proportion with the enemy. You know, I mean, they could have won the Super Bowl last year without an offensive coordinator. You know, it's Patrick Mahomes' show, his offense. And I'm not saying the guy don't deserve a look or an interview or whatever, but, you know, I just think it's a little overrated. And, you know, I tuned into the Kansas City radio station after they won the Super Bowl, and they're saying, oh, if Andy Reid wins two or three more Super Bowls, he ends up with three or four Super Bowls, he'll be the greatest of all time because he doesn't come with the baggage of the cheating scandals or whatnot, you know. So it's a little overrated, you know. So I think it took Mahomes for him to win the Super Bowl, too. Not that he's not a good coach, but all right, guys.
Okay.
Thanks,
Kyle.
All right, thanks. A lot in the call there. A lot there.
A lot of good points.
All right, so that's a great question, actually. If it was Kemba Walker and a bunch of picks and, like, you know, Neesmith and
Time Lord or something.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. But you keep Tatum, you keep Brown. Do you trade for James Harden?
My answer would be no.
I would not do the deal, but I could accept the deal. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't pull the trigger on that.
Okay, Glenn Ordway.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, that's not very nice.
Yeah,
well,
how dare
like
you,
like a mock turtleneck on today. I don't like Harden. I don't want to watch. NBA experts tell me that's what you need. You need the superstars. And as much as I said earlier, there could be long-term influential negatives to Harden being here. You still have your superstars.
And there would be, right?
Potentially. I don't know. I mean, we are definitely casting Harden in a very negative light, correct?
So I think that's a deal that I know first segment I said Tatum and Brown probably don't continue on this path with James Harden, but is this path
they never
winning
get to shoot?
Well, that's not true, Dale. I mean, come on. They play with Kyrie Irving. They play with Gordon Hayward.
He eats
they play
up
with
a lot
Walker
of them, right?
Yeah. But there's still shots to be had. I mean, you right now there are nights where if Tatum's not on the court, you're like Peyton Pritchard's going to take a million shots, or like they can trust me, they could use one more guy because when Kemba comes back, what's he going to do? Just pass? Like Kemba's going to shoot a lot. So if you think Kemba is a sunk asset, like his injury is too bad, and he was underwhelming in the playoffs last year anyway, I think that might be one where you have to roll the dice. And
but
I know
Kemba,
they just went through the problem thing, but you're keeping Jaylen Brown in this scenario. So I think you have to do that because right now, are they going to win the NBA title this year with Tatum and Brown?
No.
Are they going to win it next year? I guess a little bit more of an unknown. Let's see what the moving pieces are. Maybe. But if you're just trading Kemba, I think you'd probably have to do that one.
But Kemba and James Harden aren't the same in terms of, you know, the ball and deferential play and sort of fitting in as a three. If James Harden comes in, he's a one, right? He's your one. Like, he's now the guy with the ball. He's now the guy you expect to shoot late. And
but I think
Tatum, too.
I mean, because shooting late is not Harden's forte. That is not his thing. He has not been a good playoff performer, and he's not been a good final 2 minutes of a game guy. He just hasn't.
Right.
So but he scores a million points prior to that. And I think he's
second
proven,
quarter,
though,
he's piling him up.
But he even proved last year, you know, he played with Westbrook, and they both put up crazy bonkers numbers. Like, it's in the NBA
now. But didn't
now,
they sort of stagger? Some of the games I watch of them, they sort of staggered some of their playing time so that, you know, they were one was always on the court, and you
which
always
is smart.
Had them. No, I know that's smart, but now you got three. It's a little bit of a different love triangle.
Yeah.
And I would also argue, for me personally, especially given this year, now that Jaylen Brown has had a taste of being a true Robin at the very least, or maybe even a co-Batman, right, with what he's done. You could have argued he could have been the first week
Brown's
player of the week.
On
he gets screwed. Right. Yeah. So now that he's gotten a taste, does he want to go back to being a three and just sort of hanging out in the corner and just playing a different role? Or does he want to be part of the dynamic duo? And I think there's a better chance it's a dynamic duo and Kemba Walker, if he's healthy, than a dynamic duo and James Harden.
100%.
Right?
Well, the irony is Kyrie Irving didn't want to be Robin. He wanted to be Batman. Now all of a sudden he's become Alfred.
Yeah, he's dead.
I think, you know, maybe the answer, too, is because Harden didn't want to be in Boston, right? His list was all the other good teams.
Which means he wasn't going to stay after next year.
Which also means how much more effort would he give you than what he's given in Houston? So maybe that answers your question right there, right? Like, how are you going to convince the guy this is where he wants to be? Because also, he's teaming up with two young guys, right? Like, like Kevin Garnett, he was able to buy in because it was Pierce and Allen. But if Kevin Garnett was joining two, like, mid or early 20-year-olds, he would have been like, what? Like, what is this?
Right. I don't want to be a babysitter. I don't want to teach these guys.
And so maybe that's what Harden would think.
Now, the comments Danny Ainge made that I read to you guys earlier made it sound as though the price tag just ultimately scared them off.
Yep.
I wonder if there were others, as he said, even people who wanted him more. Was there hesitation on the part of some people within the organization, whether it's Wick, whether it's you know, Danny, whether it's Brad, and they go, I don't know, man.
I don't
want to add that guy in here.
I don't think Danny cares all that much about the chemistry, and I think we've asked him about it before when we've had him on the show, and he's like, oh, yeah, you factor in everything, or I forget whatever his answer was, but it was something along those lines. But the fact that a couple of years ago they got to the trade deadline, and the team was just – there was too many guys, not enough shots, not enough minutes – and they made no moves. That was the year where, you know, you had Marcus Morris and Terry Rozier off the bench, and you had all these guys, and it just was a mess. And you're like, you know what, they needed to make a trade just to kind of free up some spot. Didn't work, didn't happen. The reports that they were trying to re-sign Kyrie Irving after everything that happened is insane. The fact that he wanted to re-sign Gordon Hayward. And again, Hayward's not a bad player by any means, but Hayward, Brown, Tatum just didn't seem to fit. Didn't seem to be a mix for any of those guys. And he wanted to bring Hayward back. So, of course, he wanted to bring in James Harden. He's after talent. And I wonder if it was some of the other guys, maybe even Brad. I was like, listen, I know talent wins in the league, but there's also a little bit of, you know, these guys having to like each other and play well together. Like, that's we've seen that year in and year out, especially here.
And, Rich, you said earlier the change in Jaylen Brown's potential perception over a couple weeks for the positive.
That was huge.
Could matter. But so, too, could the opposite. James Harden, maybe you just look at what he – now he's not just a scorer. Now he's a fat scorer who clearly has some sort of motivational issues or where his – maybe his value even dropped a little bit in terms of the way they viewed him from afar.
And if he pouts, like, in 2 weeks, you're like, oh, how did we see this coming? It's like, oh, I don't know. He's doing it all the 2 months before you got him.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Teddy Bruschi, all-time Patriots great, was on OMF yesterday. You'll be curious, I think, to hear what he had to say about Bill Belichick. It's Dale and Keefe. Oh, Peter King at the bottom of the hour. Dale and Keefe with Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.